Praise the name of the living God. Hallelujah. It's so good to see all of you. It's so good to see each one of us back in the presence of the Lord today to share from the Word of God. Let me tell you something. There's a witness in my heart. And what the Lord said to Isaiah, behold, I do a new thing. Will you not behold it? It's happening now. The Lord is doing a new thing. The Lord is doing a new thing in me as an individual. The Lord is doing a new thing in my family. The Lord is doing a new thing in the church. The Lord is doing a new thing in you. The Lord is doing a new thing in your family. The Lord is doing a new thing. Hallelujah. If you agree with me, say amen. Amen. Praise the name of the living God. And if you haven't yet caught that fire, you will catch it. Because you know, once you throw a piece of wood in the oven where there is fire, whether it likes it or not, it will catch the fire. As long as there is fire and the other pieces are burning, that piece you throw in will catch the fire. Last week, I laid a burden on your hearts as far as overcoming is concerned. Because the book of Revelation, more than 10 times, talks about the need for us to overcome. It calls upon us to overcome. And which makes you, or which makes one, which can make you feel like, oh my goodness, so, what happens if I don't overcome? And by the way, how do I overcome? And today, all I want to do is to try and answer that question. How do we overcome? That's all I want to do. Because last week I was laying the foundation for the need to overcome. But then the question remains, so how do I overcome? And sometimes when people talk about these things in church, it's like, oh yeah, fine, you go to church, it's sermon, it's a sermon, right? You hear a sermon and you go back home. But let me tell you something I have since learned. The Lord never speaks anything that He's not going to bring to pass in your life. And the fact that we are talking about this now, we are going to need to overcome. And so when I was praying and thinking about this and preparing the word, one of the things that came to my mind is, you know, the easiest way to overcome, we are in a world that is full of war. So let me use a war allegory here, a war example. It may not sound very sweet in the ears of the Christians, but I'll use it. Assume there is a war, and you are in the army, or the military, or the air force, or you're the president, commander in chief, and they tell you that the place where the trouble is coming from is this building, and they have put landmines around the place. So no soldiers can run into the place. But you know that that's where the enemy is. What do you do? One of the things I thought about is flatten the place. So you look for the most powerful bomb. The other day they were describing the latest, most powerful bomb that the United States of America has devised or developed, and they were chronicling. They were chronicling it. They were talking about it and how powerful and how it can go down and burst millions and millions and millions and millions of tons of soil and go through rocks. And I was saying, oh my goodness, this is tough stuff. So basically, really, if I'm required to be an overcomer, one of the things I would have loved is, God, give me a bomb that will just flatten all these things that I need to overcome, you know, so that, you know, how many of us would want a situation where you walk into a situation, there is a healing needed, and all you say is, I am well in Jesus' name, and you're up, and you're running. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And you walk in a situation, and You know, they have come to you for taxes. The IRS is on you for taxes. And you just say, Lord, I need to pay my taxes. And the Lord says, go to the Potomac, pick up a fish, open it, and go and pay your taxes. Isn't it? Well, maybe the bomb story is not very good because we're in church. Well, what are we doing talking about bombs in church? Okay, let me bring something closer, something more churchy, something more more spiritual, something more godly. The story of Goliath, and you can call him Goliath if you grew up in America, or call him Goliath if you grew up in Uganda. So if I call him Goliath, you know I'm talking about Goliath, okay? For as long as the Philistines had Goliath, all the other soldiers could go to bed. They didn't need to worry an inch. We are not even told that any of the other soldiers came out. Probably they were drunk all the time. The only thing that happened when the Philistines were facing the children of Israel was for 40 days and 40 nights, Goliath would come out and say, send me a man. And if he kills me, come on, this is a whole army of a country. But one man says, if he kills me, we will become your slaves. In other words, there is only one fighter on this side. And all you need, let me tell you, so listen. All we need is a Goliath, right? If I have a Goliath in my life, I am going to be an overcomer. Because for as long as Goliath stood up before the children of Israel, the Philistines were overcomers. And so I say, we need a Goliath. And the Lord said to me, he has given us a Goliath already. And the challenge is that oftentimes we forget that we have Goliath in our lives. There was a man who saw a vision of himself running to the Lord. And the Lord stood with open arms, waiting to receive him and hug him. But as he ran to the Lord, the devil started chasing him with spears, with arrows, with all the might. And for as long as he ran with his eyes focused on the Lord, the devil didn't come anywhere near him. But then he turned to see how close this devil was and how powerful. And the moment he turned and looked, when he brought his eyes back, he couldn't see the Lord. And he cried out and said, Lord! And the Lord appeared. And for as long as the Lord appeared, the devil couldn't come anywhere near. And he learned the trick. I am going to keep my eyes on the Lord. I am not going to turn to look at my circumstances. I'm not going to turn to look at my situation. I'm not going to turn to look at what is happening around me. I am going to stay focused on the Lord. God has given us a giant. Whom do you think is the giant God has given us? Let me do a test here. Quick one, don't worry. There's nothing wrong and nothing right in the presence of God. We're just sharing a thought. Okay, silence means, brother, tell us. I think people have since learned to say, you know, with Brother Moses, you have to be careful. You never know where he's leading you in this question, right? Now, this is not a trick question. This is a very straightforward thing. Hallelujah. Psalm 46. The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our fortress. The Lord, the Bible says, God is our strength. God is our refuge. God is. It is God. And King David, for all the condemnation that people put on King David, talk about King David, and many people are quick to say, the man wasn't even holy. We even don't know why God loved him. We even don't know why God talks about all these things about him. The man found out the truth and the secret. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. For as long as I'm a sheep and he's the shepherd, I have nothing to worry about. Ah, you people have never looked after sheep. I have looked after cattle. I've looked after goats. I've looked after chicken. I've looked after sheep. I've gone and taken animals into the wild to look after them as a small boy. All the cattle and the goats and the sheep do is eat the grass. It's me to worry about boundaries. For them, they'll eat everything green in front of them, whether it is a neighbor's food. It's me to worry about it. Not the sheep. They are not worried. And let me tell you about sheep. You have no clue what sheep do. Sheep will lie in the middle of the road. They will. If it is cold out there, they will come to the road. It is a tarmac road. It is warm. They will lie right in the middle of the road. You can come driving your car at 120 miles per hour. The sheep will look at you. The sheep is not going to get up and walk away from the road because the car is coming. It will turn, look at the car, and turn and look the other. So there was a man in Chicago who owned a bar. You know a bar? They sell alcohol. A bar and a dancing hall, and they were so close to the church. And the Christians in the church prayed and they said, Lord, this can't be. When we want to worship your name and the bar is here, Lord, we are calling upon you. We close that business in the name of Jesus. And slowly, one by one, the people who used to go to the bar came to the church. And some who used to go to the bar just stopped going to the bar. And the bar closed. The business died down. And the owner of the business took the church to court. And he went to court. And the day they stood in front of the judge asked the pastor, Pastor, did you close down this man's business? And the pastor said, no, I didn't. I have nothing to do with the closing down of his business. But the bar owner had tapes where the church actually was praying that the bar closes down. And he turns to the bar owner and says, do you believe that the Christians closed your business? And he says, yes, sir. Your honor, I believe it. And he goes back to the pastor and says, Pastor, did you close down his business? And the pastor says, no, your honor, we have nothing to do with that. And the judge says, I am in a dilemma because I have a bar owner who believes in God and a pastor who doesn't. God has given us one thing that people take for granted. But God has given us one thing like this. It's a very small thing, and yet it is the greatest of them all. And that thing is called His name. His name. The name of God. God gave. Pastor spoke about it, and I turned to my wife and I say, look at my notes. Confirmation, confirmation. You see this, dear? Moses asked and said, when they ask me, what do I tell them? And he said, tell them, I am. The name of God makes God jealous. The only thing we are told God is jealous about in the Bible is His name. God is jealous when it comes to His name. Jealousy consumes Him. And I'll not give you all the scriptures to read. But let me read to you, and if you want me to call out any scripture, I will. Joel 2, verse 32 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me tell you, brethren, I'm not going to tell us very complicated things. There is no formula. The formula is this. Call upon the name of the Lord. There is a brother in my country who has since gone to be with the Lord. My wife knows him. He was called Stephen Talikovia. Let me say the name so that she can relate to the story. This brother had just moved homes. And it was at a time where in Uganda it was very dangerous. There was a near breakdown of rule and law in the country. It was chaos. It was anarchy. You got robbed like this. You know, you got mugged. You got, people broke into your house and you went to the police and the police did nothing. Sometimes probably they may have even connived with. So it was at that kind of time in my country. Or in that country. And this brother was called Stephen. So he moved into a neighborhood. And the night they moved into the neighborhood, robbers came to break into their house. And Stephen told us this story and he said all he did was to call, Yesu! Yesu is Jesus, right? You all relate to Yesu. Jesus! And basically, literally saying, Jesus, come and help us! The robbers are here! Robert said, you're calling on Jesus. He has saved you today. But we will see another day. And they went. And they went. The name of the Lord. Acts chapter 2 verse 21 repeats what Joel 2:32 says. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is jealous for His name. Exodus 9:16. That one we shall read. Let's read that one. Pastor, can you read it for me? Thanks. Exodus 9:16. This one I need to say something about it.
But indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth.
For this purpose have I raised you up, that I may show my power through you, that my name will be glorified in all the earth. And God was not talking about a Christian man here. So listen, there are some things God has allowed to happen in our lives, not for our benefit.
Hey!
There are things that God allows to happen in me or on me, or in my condition or in my situation that are not for my benefit, but they are for the glory of the name of God. The disciples turned to Jesus and they asked, so now this is it. Lord, we are also catching you here today. Who sinned? Because the law teaches clearly, when you sin, it is the soul that sins that shall die. When you sin, you are cast and condemned. So this man here, why was he born blind? Who sinned? And Jesus looked and said, this is so God can be glorified. There are things that are going to happen to you, in your life, in your family, in your situation, in your business, in your economics, that are not necessarily because you did something wrong. That are not necessarily because God is punishing you. That are not necessarily because God is after you. But God has allowed them to happen. That His name will be glorified. Exodus 20:24. In every place where God records His name. Oh, this one I love. Read, Pastor, read. Woo! Exodus 20:24. Read. Listen, brethren, if you want to overcome, substitute your name for His name. When it gets tough, when it gets difficult, when you don't understand what's happening, when you don't know what is happening, remove your name from the situation and put the name of the Lord. He says, every place where my name is recorded, I will come and bless. Okay. Amen. Let me give you an example very quickly. One of the stories I love in Scripture. One of the stories, I love stories. And I read the Old Testament mainly for these stories. And they teach me a lot. Especially, let me give you some quick ones. Go and read the book of Samuel and the Kings. Sweet stories. They're just stories. You can read like you read the Washington Post. Just read them. So there was a king called Hezekiah. Hezekiah's intelligence, the CIA, or the FBI, they come to him and they say, King, we're done. The Syrians have said they are coming for us. They have even offered to lend us their soldiers to fight on our side, because they know we don't have enough soldiers to fight them. And they had written to him a letter. And the king looked at the letter. And he looked at his soldiers and he said, we are not enough. We don't have an army that can fight the enemy. Isaiah 37, 38, 39. Read that. You know, and then so Hezekiah takes the letter and goes to the temple. The Bible tells us Hezekiah took the letter and read it to the Lord. I love that. If it is a business, if it's a contract, if it is a job, if it's whatever, take that letter and go and read it to the Lord. Hezekiah went and read the letter to the Lord and he said, Lord, they are attacking us. Yes. You. Lord, you. Yes. Yes. They are attacking us. You are with us. So they are attacking you. And the Lord said to Hezekiah, you will not need to fight. Stand still and you will see what God can do. The Bible says they woke up the following morning and 185,000 soldiers of the enemy were dead. We serve a God that we just need to allow to do His work. And when He does His work, He will overwhelm each one of us. His name, wherever His name is recorded. When you enter that office, don't just walk in and say, ah, another day. Hey, thank God it is Friday. What do they say? TGIF. walk in that office and I say, I enter this place with the presence of the Lord. Amen. And I declare that this place belongs to Jehovah God of glory. When you walk into your business office in the morning, don't just walk in. As you enter that door, say, thank you, Lord, for this office. You gave it to me. It belongs to us, Lord. Come and glorify yourself in this business. And leave it at that. He has said it. Every place where my name is recorded. Don't buy that new car and you just jump in and you drive. Lay your hand and say, Lord, those grandchildren, those children, bring them into your chest and say, Lord, I dedicate them to you. That rebellious boy, that rebellious girl, don't allow the devil to take him or her away from you. We had a child. I don't mean to say this to embarrass any of my children. I don't like to embarrass my children, but I'll say it because it blesses us. We had a child who wasn't walking the way we wanted. Wasn't doing the things we expected. And we discussed and talked physically as human beings and we said, how do we go about this? And then one day one of the siblings came. We were praying. We had had our family altar. And one of the siblings said, do you know people? This is the devil wanting to take the soul of so and so. Ah. When I heard that, when that word fell in my ears, I said, Lord, no. We will not let the devil steal the soul. And we cried to God for that soul. The joy of that soul telling you, pray for me. Mm-hmm. Calling you and saying, pray for me. Mm-hmm. Calling you and saying, where is this scripture found? Mm-hmm. Amen. Calling you and saying, this is what we had in church today. And when I heard it preached, I thought about you. Whether it's your husband or your spouse, name the name of the Lord. You know, one day I woke up and I found my wife had laid hands on me. You know, those moments when the Lord wakes you up and I woke up, I had been really snoring and roaring away. Then I wake up and I see my wife has hands on I didn't ask what she was praying for. But I'm sure she knows. I mean, there may be. Hallelujah. Those of you who have spouses, you know there are some things you say and do without knowing that you're hurting the other person. Or maybe you are not even necessarily hurting them, but they have their dreams and desires about you. And she was had hands on me praying over my life. The name. Plant that name there. I'm not teaching you some witchcraft here. I'm teaching you great things. I'm teaching you. God has promised. He said, every place where my name is recorded. He did not say every church. Every. That place could be car. That place could be the chair where you sit. And you know, you can do some very simple things. When you get on that plane, just say, Lord, I thank you for this technology in Jesus' name. You don't have to close your eyes and kneel and speak in tongues. Let's move on a little bit here because I can see time is gone and we must go. Where has time gone today? What happened? Okay. That's it. That's what the Lord wanted us to learn. I'm talking about the name. I'm continuing with the name. Because Hebrews 1 verse 1 to 4. The Bible says, in the past, God spoke to us through many different ways. Now, brethren, I enjoy listening to the Schmitter and the Habingers and those men whom God has blessed with the opportunity to teach about those things of the law and Judaism and the history of Israel. But let me put your life at ease, everybody. The Bible says, in the past, God spoke to us through sundry ways. In the past, He used the donkeys to speak. In the past, He used wind to speak. In the past, He used the clouds. In the past, He used burning fires. In the past, He used sundry ways, sundry things, many ways to speak to us. But the Bible says, but today, He has spoken to us through His Son. If you have Jesus, full stop. If you have Jesus, that's it. That's it. That's all you need to know. The blind man I told you about, the people found him and they say, tell us now. John chapter 9, those of you who want to go and read, it's a long story, John chapter 9. They said, now tell us, who healed you? You've been blind since birth, but now your eyes are open. Who healed you? And the man says, I don't know. First of all, I was blind. How do you expect me to know? The man prayed for me when I was blind, okay? So he says, I don't know. And he said, okay, if you don't know the name, but at least you can know this. He healed you on the Sabbath, right? Yeah. So, tell us. Was he a sinner? Or was he a righteous man? I love the answer this blind man gives. He says, I don't know, and I don't care whether the man was a sinner, whether the man was righteous. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see. That's all I know. Each one of us knows where Jesus found you. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. And I don't have to be perfect to know and say that. Let me give you three more, four more, and close this mouth. So if we are to overcome, we can only do it through Him and by Him. That is what I'm trying to communicate. I can't do it on my own. Well, when people ask you, what is your favorite scripture? Have you been asked such things? Oh, they ask me all the time. What is your favorite scripture? Let me give you a favorite scripture here. John chapter 15 verse 5. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. That's my favorite scripture. Without me, you can do. Sisters, that brother there without Christ, he can be like all those men out there. Sisters don't want to look at their spouses. I was looking to see if they were. Without me, you can do nothing, say the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul gave us this verse. I love it. Colossians chapter 3 verse 11, you will read. Paul concludes it and he says, Christ is all and in all. For as long as Christ is in me, Christ is all and in all. Let me tell you, don't worry. Don't trouble yourself because this brother doesn't pray the same way you pray. Because this sister doesn't sing the same way you sing. Because this morning, I was reading the newspaper from my country, and a man we served the Lord with has gone to be with the Lord. They laid him to rest yesterday. But of the people who spoke, one of the people who spoke was his daughter at the funeral. And this man was a pastor, a minister. And this girl was struggling with adolescence. Her father is a minister in the church, but her body is pulling her. So this one night, she goes to the father and says, "Daddy, there is a dance. You know these disco dances, right?" And she says, "Daddy, I want to go and dance." "Really?" Oh, the father says, "You want to go and dance? I'm going to go and dance with you." So the father dresses up, puts her in the car, says, "Let's go to the dance." "Let's go home now." And she says from that moment, her love for her father, her love for Jesus, just turned around. And she doesn't know what it was. But the fact that her father came down to her level and loved her the way she was, turned her around. What is in it for you? It's just a dance, but it's Christ. And the father said, "If I didn't go to dance with her, somebody else would have danced with her. And only God knows where that would have ended." It may not be going the way you want, but leave it in His hands. He's in charge. Without Him, you can do nothing. Children are particularly difficult. Very difficult. Sometimes you're like, "What is happening? What on earth? Why can't they listen? Why can't they hear what I'm saying? Oh my God." I'm told when Prince Charles, you know Prince Charles, right? United Kingdom. They say the UK and America are one and the same country. They are only divided by a common language. Because the way the Americans speak it and write it is different from the way the British speak it and write it. But anyway, they say when Prince Charles and Lady Diana, their late, were divorcing and separating, Diana asked Prince Charles and said, "What will happen to the children?" Now, I'm not saying this because I'm praising Prince Charles, but I like the statement that he made. I want to borrow it. Prince Charles said, "The children belong to England. England will look after them. The children belong to God. And God will look after them." They belong to God. And God will look after them. Very quickly. So let me tell you then, brethren. Paul told the church in Philippi, the church of the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, Philippians, Paul said, "He who began the good work in you will bring it to completion." It's not for me to worry about how I'm going to overcome. He who began this good work in me, how many of you chose the Lord? How many of you chose the Lord? You did not choose me. The Bible says, you did not choose me. I chose you. You did not choose the Lord. The Lord chose you. The Bible says if the Holy Spirit doesn't draw you to Him, you can't come. Nobody can come. All of us who are here because the Holy Spirit drew us. And so Paul concludes and says, the one who began that good work will bring it to completion. Even when you go through the valley, even when you go through hell, even when things are not going well, even when internally inside you, you don't feel like today I'm spiritual enough. You know, there are days when you don't feel like you're even spiritual enough to pray for your food. Because that's the least you can do is pray over your food. There are days when they serve you food and then you remember to say, thank you, Lord, for the food. But you have already eaten 5 scoops. The one who began that good work in you will bring it to completion. It is His work. He's doing a work in you. And He will complete it. So then our challenge is one. I beg for 5 minutes. Our challenge is one. One, like this. What do you think our challenge is then? I mean, you can't speak to me. Sorry? Believe it? Amen? What's our challenge? Receive it? What's our challenge? Patience? All those answers are correct. Let me give you. Our challenge is one. Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, that's our challenge. Abiding in him. That's the only thing. So everything else that we do should be something that helps us to abide in him. All this preaching that we do is just basically to challenge us to remain abiding in him. Whatever we encourage ourselves to do is to help us abide in him. That is not what overcomes. It's not how long you pray. It is not how many days you fast. It's not how many scriptures you read. It's not how often you come to church. It's not how much money you give. Ah, what's this? You're speaking like an unbeliever, brother. It is abiding in him. When you abide in him, you will fast 10 days and you will not realize you've been fasting 10 days because you are in him. If you abide in him, you will read a whole book of Romans and you go from the beginning to the end and you don't even feel you've been reading. You are like, oh, where did the time go? I was just enjoying this because you are abiding in him and he abides in you. If you abide in him, you will pray and your prayers will be answered. If you abide in him, so how do we abide in him? Number one, his word must be in you. Word, word, word. Brethren, we must become a Bible reading church. Not that reading the Bible will take you to heaven. Back in Uganda, we used to have a government minister. He has since died. He was a Muslim. He was a prime minister. But he used to boast and say in his school, because he went to a Christian school, one of the top-notch Christian schools. He was the number one Bible student in his school, but he was a Muslim. So, knowing the Bible will not necessarily save you. But the more Bible you know, the more you will know how to abide in him, because he said, if my word abides in you, and you abide in me. He abides in me through his word. humbling ourselves, praying, fellowship, fellowship, fellowship. Brethren, this journey can be tough for one individual. We need each other. It doesn't matter how strong I appear to be or you appear to be, we need one another. None of us can survive on your own out there. And brethren, we must begin to go beyond church. Playing church. I should be able to call up Pastor Pat and say, Pastor, pray with me. I'm going through this, pray with me. Text message. Text one another. Pray with me. Share with me a scripture that will encourage me. Two last ones and I keep quiet. I love this. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 37 to the end. He says, in all these things, we are more than overcomers. We are not just overcoming, we have already overcome. So we are beginning as overcomers, brethren, we are already overcomers. He says in all these things we are more than conquerors because he conquered. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, in the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. If I have overcome, you will overcome. Because guess what? He lives in me. He overcomes for me. The principle of heaven is very difficult. The principle of heaven is one of those difficult ones. There are many, but let me give you one of the difficult ones. Paul writes and says, God's strength is made manifest in my weakness. The weaker I become, the stronger he becomes. John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he increases. That's the challenge of our salvation. Oftentimes we don't overcome because we are trying to overcome on our own. I'm trying to be very good. I'm trying to tough it out. I'm trying to be very American. I'm trying to be what they call this, macho man, eh? Macho man. I'm trying to be. Hallelujah. There's a chorus that says, in the name of Jesus. I don't know whether we know it, but I believe we do. Again, it's old school. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Hallelujah. Who can tell what God can do? Who can tell his love for you? In the name of Jesus, Jesus, we have the victory. Can we try it one more time together, please? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devil will have to flee. Hallelujah. Who can tell what good can do? Who can tell his love for us? In the name of Jesus, Jesus, we have the victory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Good word, brother. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You overcoming? There's a scripture in the book of Revelation in chapter 3 where Jesus says, he said, I want you to overcome even as I have overcome. And so our overcoming, as Moses so aptly put, is tied to Christ's victory. Father, we thank you that you saved us for victory. We thank you that you saved us and you brought us into this warfare to overcome, to conquer with you, through you, by you. And so, Lord, we give ourselves, Lord, to what, to your purpose and your will and your desire for our lives, that not only we would overcome, but that others would overcome with us. Father, we thank you for your word. May it live, breathe, and move in us. All this week we pray in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said amen, amen, amen and amen. God bless you real good.